This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. We're here every week, and as you know, we talk about subjects that we think are interesting and important and sometimes fun for all of us who live here in the Western New York community. And you know what a small town, they say, Western New York is, right? They're always saying, oh, everybody knows everybody or everybody's related to everybody. Well, you know, that's true in so many ways. Not too long ago, I went to the Philharmonic for a Pops concert. I forgot what concert it was. I'll ask my guest in a minute after I tell you who it is. And they had this during the concert. They had a soloist, and he was so fantastic. And I said to my friend, he's got to be like world famous by now. And so we looked him up in the program, and we just raved about what his fabulous voice and how good he was at this concert. Well, the next thing I know, I'm talking to a girlfriend of mine, Cheryl Buth Myers, who you all know is a well-known attorney here in town, and a dear friend, and she's been on Target before. And I'm talking to her, and I must have just mentioned, oh, we heard this fantastic singer, Jay Dreff, at the Philharmonic last week, my girlfriend and I, another friend. And Cheryl Buth Myers says, oh, you mean the classical crossover artist Jay Dreff, who I represent and who has been appearing all over the country and who has been in Vegas and everywhere else and with other orchestras and blah, blah, blah. I said, what? She says, I know him. He's a client of mine. And I am going to get him when he is in town to come on your program and talk to your audience because I have influence with him. And I said, Cheryl, I love you. Thank you. And here in the studio with me today is the one and only Jay Dreff. Thank you for coming.
Hi.
Did Cheryl make you do it?
She called me. She said, you're going to be on Penny Wolfgang. Yes. I said, okay. I'll be there.
I was so excited. And then on top of it all, what happened? I met your mother.
You did meet my mother. Yeah,
right?
She actually works at the Buffalo Club. And mm-hmm. I guess we had listened to your interview.
So,
you had interviewed
with Cheryl.
We had listened to the interview, and I guess she ran into you, and small world. You know, my son, Jay Dreff,
yes.
The singer.
And I'll get him to come on the program. She promised me, too.
Well, thank you for having me today. Really,
here you are. Really, isn't that amazing how everybody knows everybody here in Western...
Buffalo really is the smallest town in the U.S. It really is.
Okay,
yeah.
So... you know, even though I'm not born here, I've been here for forever and ever, and it seems like people always say to me, oh, I was in high school with you at Kenmore or something like that. I was no, not really, but, you know, it feels like it. I have to start out by asking you to tell my audience about, well, first of all, you have to say you were born here.
I was raised in Buffalo, but I was actually born on Long Island.
Okay.
Because my mother's actually from Long Island, my father's from Buffalo. But I was raised here, I went to school here, and I love Buffalo so much.
Well, were you a vocalist and all the way back when you were a kid? Were you interested in music?
I was. You know, I got my start, I think I was about 10 years old, and Buffalo has a really, really great, really strong theater community. I'm sure you know.
I'm
sure you've seen things. And I got my start... At a little place called the Lancaster Opera House in Lancaster.
They do wonderful shows. And not just a little.
They've been doing things for years. And my very first show was The King and I. And I remember it very well. I played one of the Siamese children.
Okay.
Oh my God, I just loved doing it. It was such a fun time. I made some friends that I'm still friends with today. I started doing that, and then I did a lot of singing in choirs. I was part of the St. Paul's Cathedral Choir when I was very young. I did that for a few years. And then went on to, I started taking voice lessons at Elmwood Franklin School, where I had my younger education. And then from there, I went to the Buffalo Academy for Visual and Performing Arts for high school and continued with my music there. And I worked with Frank Shinta, who's pretty well known in this area. He does a lot of church choirs. I was in his Canisius College chorale while I was in high school. And I really got my start at very young, like I said, I was about 10 years old, and I just love singing. I've always loved singing. I've been doing it since I was a toddler, just singing around the house and stuff like that. And,
is anybody in your family?
No,
I'm the only one.
Only one I know of, in my immediate family especially. We don't know where it came from.
So now you can stop there, because I saw that you went to the New York City Juilliard School, which is not an easy school to get into by any means. Tell us about how you went from, what high school were you here? Were you here in high school?
I was here in high school, I went to the Arts Academy.
The high school, right. So, and then how did you get into Juilliard?
It's kind of a funny story. I won a scholarship, actually, from a group called the Chromatic Club of Buffalo. I don't know if they're still around. And it was money to go towards, I guess, voice lessons or someone other than your current teacher. So I took that money, and I actually I drove to Eastman School of Music in Rochester, which is not too far. And I met a woman there who really taught me how to sing classical music and opera. Because before then, I had never really done anything like that. I was doing a lot of theater stuff and a lot of I did a lot of acting too. And I met this woman, and I sang for her, and she told me right away, she's like, you've got something. There's something here, you know, and I really want to work with you. I would love to be your teacher. So she took me on. So I traveled to Rochester every week to take lessons with her. And she pretty much told me, you know, you should think about studying music maybe in college. And, you know, it's something I had thought about. I never ever planned on. I mean, I wanted to go to school to be a musical theater guy. That was kind of what I did. I wanted to be like an actor, a singer, you know, on Broadway. You know, which one day would be amazing to do something like that. But I fell in love with classical music. I fell in love with just listening to it and singing it, and my voice just fit, you know. And from there I kept working with her, and then it came to my senior year, and I had to start thinking about college. And what was I going to do? You know, I did some research on schools and stuff like that. I think I applied to about 10 schools for vocal performance in opera. And one of the schools on that list was the Juilliard School in New York, a dream school, a school I never thought, you know, I was just kind of like, why not? Can't hurt, you know? And I remember sending in, like for the auditions, you had to send in like a pre-screening CD. So I had to send CDs to all the schools, and I got live auditions from all the schools. So I had to travel to go to all sorts of different places in the country for that. And Juilliard was, I think, one of my last auditions, I think. And it's funny because I had already gotten accepted into other schools before I even had my audition yet. So I just remember going, like I said, it was just something I never thought anything would come of it. And I get nervous before auditions. Some nerves are good, but I just get so nervous. And for some reason, I didn't get nervous at Juilliard. And I don't know why that is. I think because I just kind of thought, like, what the heck?
I'll never get in there. You know? Right.
I just remember going into the room. It was a pretty scary experience. There was a long table of teachers and coaches just kind of all in a line just looking at me as I walked in, and it was just kind of
okay,
like,
that's scary,
you know, I walked in, it was just me, the piano player. I gave the piano player my music, I said, here we go. And I just started singing, and I remember I had to for that particular audition, I had to learn three songs in three different languages. So I had to sing a song in German, I had to sing a song in Italian, and I also sang a song in English. And I remember I started with the Italian song, and you know, I sang it, and I said, okay, you know, the room was silent, you know, they were kind of like pretending to write or whatever they were doing, writing, looking very serious, and they said, okay, can you sing something else for us? I said, sure. Sang the next song, and they said, okay, let's hear the last song. And I was like, okay, you know, usually it's just two, but they want to hear three. Okay, that's a good sign. So I sang all three songs. They said, thank you, you know, we'll be in touch, you know. And I remember I went back down to the lobby, and my teacher was actually, my teacher from Rochester, Jane Gunter McCoy was her name. She came to New York with me for the audition, just as a support group. And I remember just sitting there with her, you know, we went and we got a cup of coffee, and I came back, and they posted the callback sheets, right? And sure enough, my name was at the top of the list.
Oh my gosh. Were you Jay Dreff always, by the way?
Yes. You know, I went by, for a while, my middle name as well, Jay Lewis Dreff. But I went, now I'm back to just Jay Dreff. I think it's just Jay Dreff. More falls
it,
off
it
the tongue.
It falls easier. Off. Jay, yeah. I want to say your name a lot because we're talking and they always tell me, restate your guest's name. It's got a little sign here, Kevin, so I don't forget. But I'm supposed to say it's the Penny Wolfgang Show and we're talking to Jay Dreff. So I want to say it a lot during the interview.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah.
So you got...
So yeah, I got the call back and then I had to go and take a few written tests, music theory, music ear training. Yeah, I did all that and I remember that went pretty well. I mean, I think it could have gone better, but I felt pretty good about it and I remember leaving and I think I waited about 3 weeks, and this was like 2009, so this is before, like, really, I mean, I didn't really have a cell phone at this point. I think I had, like, a flip phone or whatever. So I remember they sent out an email saying, you know, we were going to let you know of your acceptance or you know, your status at this time. I think it was, like, at, like, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll let you know. So I remember going to my old computer, just like waiting. And I went to the email, it opened up, and I saw the first word, and it said, congratulations.
Oh,
you know,
gosh.
We would like to offer you, you know, a spot here at the Juilliard School in New York. We thought your audition was wonderful, and we can't wait to get started with you, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it was amazing. It felt great.
That had to change your life. Well,
oh,
that
sure
was
did.
The beginning of the
It sure
picture.
Did.
So,
it sure did.
While you're at Juilliard, were there any other famous or future famous students with you? Because it's
at that point,
probably.
There's a lot of famous people that have come out of there. When I was there, I don't think anybody, I mean, at that point, maybe in the theater department, actually, there is an actor. I don't know if you know who Adam Driver is. He's a really famous actor.
Oh, of course, everyone. Yes, absolutely.
Kylo Ren from Star Wars. He graduated the year before I got there, actually. So he's around that same time, the biggest star right now. As far as singing, there's another singer. I mean, she graduated years and years before me, but Renee Fleming. She's from Rochester.
She's probably one of the most... Yeah. I forgot about that, but she's one of the most famous opera singers in the world.
She's at the top, yeah.
Yeah, but so you were in good company there at Juilliard.
Sure, yeah.
Now, do they help you after you graduated from Juilliard? Do they help you get,
that's a good
get
question.
An agent and
I
get
stuff? Be careful what I say here, but, you know, not really. I mean, you kind of go, you study, it's like 4 years of intense training. You know, you're taking voice lessons, you're taking language classes, you're learning the languages, you've also got they're training your ear, how to sight read, music theory, just the ins and outs of everything, and you know, and I had to take piano lessons as well.
Oh, that's big.
So what's that?
Yeah, that's big.
Yeah, that's big. I mean, I was never that's a funny story actually. I never really liked playing piano. I took lessons as a kid and I just never practiced because I didn't want to do it, you know. We took piano as well. After those 4 years, I had the opportunity to audition for a master's program, and I did. And unfortunately, I didn't move on in the program, which honestly was fine with me. I was ready to kind of end my schooling and just
start
my career, you know.
All right, so what's the beginning of your career? What was the first, you know, what really got you started?
What really got me started? So after I graduated... I was living in New York. I decided I wanted to stay in New York City. I got a job bussing tables at a sports bar.
Just like in the movies, where you have to wait tables before you get an acting job.
Exactly.
You know.
So I did that for a while, and then I started auditioning for theater, actually. I had a theater agent that I had found, and I went in for a bunch of auditions. And my first job out of college was, I went to Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin, to be in a production of Les Mis, and I played the role of Enjolras, and that was fun. I mean, I traveled. Yeah, it was like a 3 month stint, you know, on the road in like this small little town. I don't know if you've ever heard of Fort Atkinson.
No, I did not.
Somewhere in between Madison and Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Small little town, cute little town, I did that, and Yeah, that was fun. I met some cool people. I love that show, Les Mis. I mean, I grew up listening.
You'd be
to
perfect.
Les Mis. Yeah, Les Mis and Phantom, obviously. Those are my two favorite shows. And yeah, I spent some time there. After that, I came back to New York, went back to my job. Not bussing tables this time. I got a bartending job, actually. I was working at... I was in the theater district. I was bartending at Broadway theaters. So my job at that point, I was bartending at Aladdin, the Broadway musical.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I did that for a while.
What's your big break? When did your big break come?
What
was your first role, either on Broadway or...
No, I've never been on Broadway. I mean,
so what happened? Yeah. How did you get into opera? I mean, a role. You're eventually.
You know what's
funny?
We're
gonna get to the part where you got to be with Sarah Brightman.
Oh God, that's down the line.
All right,
but
okay.
To get to that point,
okay.
You know, I mean, I guess I should talk about when I met Cheryl Myers Booth. I was splitting my time between. I was living in New York, but I was also coming back to my family's here, so I'd come back to Buffalo a lot. And at that point, after doing that Broadway Les Mis thing, I decided that really theater at that point just wasn't the right move for me. You know, I enjoyed it, but I really didn't see myself doing that. Part of the reason is because I'm not much of a dancer. And I know,
yeah,
to be on Broadway,
have
you have to be able to move a little bit. I mean, I can dance a little bit, but not at that level. I just really wanted to focus on my singing. So at that point, I didn't really have any idea as to what I was going to do. I had no representation at that point. I was sort of a free agent, kind of like, you know, I'm just doing whatever I can get at this point, small little gigs to sing, you know. I was singing around New York at little small little bars and stuff like that, just to kind of pass the time. I wasn't even making a lot of money at that point. That's typical for a New York starving artist, you know.
Exactly.
So I came back to Buffalo for a bit, and I guess somehow... I found out about Cheryl. My dad, of all people, he's a golf pro. He works. He's the pro over at Bobolink. I don't know if you're familiar with Bobolink. It's in Orchard Park.
No.
Well, the story is, I mean, he was giving a golf lesson to a state trooper, dad always starts off every conversation.
My son is a singer.
Yeah, there you go. You beat into it. And this guy's like, oh, that's great, you know. And somehow he brought up Cheryl Myers Booth, who. He said, oh, yeah, I know this lady. Yeah, her name's Cheryl Booth, and she works with, I guess she's...
Management,
sports,
artist.
Sports, mm-hmm. sports people. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you should tell your son, you know, reach out to her. Maybe she can help. At that, I mean, we were like, okay, cool, you know.
And you did, and she did?
Well, I wandered into her office one day with no expectations whatsoever. You know, we kind of sat down with her, and we talked for a bit. And I told her what I did and, you know, what I wanted to do and my plans. And I told her, you know, I'm a singer and do you have any ideas? And she had no idea of the music business or whatever. So, we were both at that point learning new things. And I just remember, you know, we talked. It was a great conversation. She was one of the nicest people I ever met. And she was, my dad was with me and she was so nice. And yeah, we talked for a bit. I remember leaving and, you know, just like, okay, that was a great conversation, but who knows?
And then the rest is history. Because
the rest is
once,
history. I got a phone call
from
her.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like she had had a few leads. I mean, she had reached out to a few people she thought might know something about the music business. And a couple things fell through. I think one of the things was she had gotten contact with Michael Bublé's, I guess, first manager. Which somehow, I guess it wasn't the right fit for me. And then there was a couple other people. And then she found these two people, I guess, on LinkedIn.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, of all, you know, she sent them my music. She had, I guess, filled them in on everything that was going on in my career at that point. And then I was back in New York at that point, back at my job. And she flew into New York. We had a meeting with these people. They had an office in New York, and we sat down with them, and it turned out to be, at that point, the right fit. We signed with them, and from there, I...
what was your first big, break, so to speak?
Well, yeah, my first big break, really. I mean, I got to go to Los Angeles to record some music with some... Hollywood, you know, Grammy-nominated, Academy Award-winning songwriters, Stefan Mokyo and Lauren Christie, and both of them have worked with some of the greatest artists in the world. I think Stefan wrote music for Celine Dion, Sarah Brightman. Josh Groban, Andrea Bocelli, just to name a few.
Oh my God! Yeah, name drop
yeah,
a few.
Yeah, I can keep name dropping. Miley Cyrus. I mean, some of the hits that there's a song. Maybe you've heard it. It's called "Wrecking Ball" by Miley Cyrus.
I look dumb?
No, I'm dumb.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Yes, I heard of it.
But he wrote "Wrecking Ball," you know, and he wrote a song for me. I mean. Not particularly, he didn't write it for me. I mean, he had a song that he had written with Lauren Christie and another lady by the name of Denise Rich. And they had written it years, you know, previous, you know, like a few years before I met them. And they couldn't find a singer.
The right artist to fit the song.
And they heard my music. And like that, they called me up. They said, you need to come to Los Angeles. We need you to record this song.
So you did.
I did. It was a song called Taxi in the Rain. And it became a pretty big hit for me, you know, locally. And, you know, it started, I think it got some radio play a little bit. It did pretty well. I was recording in a world-class studio. I mean, I never dreamed of anything like, I mean, I it's just amazing. I was singing into a microphone that I think Celine Dion had sung into at some point, you know.
Can I touch you?
Yeah.
Wait, I just want to interrupt for a moment.
Sure.
Because Kevin just walked in. He's going to be really mad at me if I don't keep saying that you're listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang. And our guest today is Jay Dreff, classical crossover artist. We're talking about the cross. We're getting to the crossover part.
We are. We're getting there.
Yeah,
we're getting there.
Yeah. I want to get to the part where you ended up, not ended up, where I saw you singing with a Philharmonic. That can't be the first time that you got to sing with a Philharmonic orchestra. Or was it? Maybe.
I did sing with the Philharmonic, actually. This goes back to before Juilliard. They had a scholarship, the Young Musician Scholarship. And I got to sing with them for their summer concert series. This was the summer before I went to Juilliard. And that was my first experience with the BPO. And I hadn't done anything with them until when you saw me. I don't know why. I don't know. I had reached out to them a few times. It just never happened. The time you saw me was because I guess they had heard of they had heard of me, but then they had found out that I was touring. Well, we can get to the Sarah Brightman.
Let's talk about
that comes before the BPO.
I want to get to Sarah Brightman. Yes.
Okay. So it's kind of a crazy story how it all happened. I just remember I was working at the Buffalo Club. I got a job here. Bartending at the Buffalo Club, and
I want to hear about the singing.
I know, right.
Go to the.
Let's get to the singing. Yeah. I don't even know how it even started. I remember just that day in particular. I was in the shower. Just ran one day. I remember my mom just banging on the bathroom door. She's like, Jay, you need to take this phone call. It's Cheryl, who I hadn't heard from. I guess it had been a while since I'd heard from Cheryl. And she was on the phone with, I guess, Sarah Brightman's people, right? And they were looking for a tenor to replace another tenor who unfortunately couldn't join her on her tour at that point. This was last year, around last Christmas. It was and maybe towards the end of November. And they were looking for a tenor, and they were interested in me. They had heard my music. They wanted to meet me. They wanted to see, you know, how I fit.
Now, is this for her concert? Is it concert series?
It's yes, not, this was last Christmas. This was a Christmas symphony tour. So, yeah, I mean, I sent all my music. I sent all of my resume, just everything to her and to her people. And it took about a week for them to decide. I know I was nervous. Another thing, I was like, this is never going to happen for me. This isn't a dream. There's no way. I mean, some guy from Buffalo,
It
worked out.
And you got to meet her?
I got to meet her.
You got to.
A week later or a couple weeks later, I was on an airplane on my way to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania to start the tour. You know,
did you rehearse with her?
I think it was 1 or 2 days of rehearsal. I got there, I think it was the day, I flew in the day before Thanksgiving. And we had 1 or 2 rehearsals, and then the shows started. I had an audience.
And what was she do? What was what kind of music was it? A Christmas symphony?
It was a Christmas. So she did a lot of her hits, a lot of Sarah Brightman hits, like "Time to Say Goodbye." You know, the famous duet she did with Andrea Bocelli. We did she did the Phantom of the Opera with me, that which was incredible. That's another experience that I'll never forget, is being able to share the stage with Sarah Brightman and to sing the Phantom of the Opera with her. And you know, she was the original Christine,
yes,
in Phantom, which how she sort of became famous, really.
Yes,
she was married to Andrew Lloyd Webber, and he wrote the show for her, and the rest is history. But it was a Christmas show, so I remember I sang, we did a duet, an operatic duet, and then after that I did a song called Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
I love that song.
Which one of my favorite songs. And then we did Phantom, and that was just, that experience for me was amazing. I mean, I went from singing for about maybe 50 people tops to singing for thousands and thousands of people every night.
And now what? What happened since then?
I toured with her last Christmas, and then I got home after that, and I things started happening for me a little bit. I got a phone call from the BPO. They wanted to put me in for their Memorial Day. I know you it was a Pops. You thought it was Pops, but it was their Memorial Day concert. So I went in and I sang for them for that. And that was pretty cool. And you were there. You saw the whole thing.
I was there.
Yeah.
I love anything patriotic. So
yeah. Oh, it was a great time.
I never miss, you know, the July 4th or Memorial Day.
Right.
When they do the patriotic songs.
Yeah.
And then have you been in Vegas? Did I hear?
Yeah. So that's funny you say that. I got a call soon after the first tour. I got a call from Sarah and her people saying that they wanted me to join her again. She was planning a tour for the fall. It was called a Starlight Symphony Tour, and it was a residency at the Venetian Hotel in Las Vegas, and then four shows in Mexico.
And you did all that?
And I did all that.
Oh my gosh!
I actually just got back from Mexico.
I knew you were away when we wanted to talk to you on Target Night. And I heard you were away, but you just came back. And tell us a little bit. We only have a minute or so about what you're hoping for the future.
Oh gosh!
Or what you're
planning. I hope to keep touring with Sarah, because it's an opportunity of a lifetime. She's just a wonderful. She's a wonderful artist, and I just love working with her. She's amazing on and off the stage. And then from there, I hope to continue with my recording, maybe hopefully putting out some music very soon, and working with songwriters, and just keep singing as much as I can.
And you can do classical, you can do...
I can do classical, I can do crossover.
Popular.
I can do theater.
Theater, anything. So, Jay Dreff, just remember that name, listeners of On Target, because he'll be a big international star. You'll see him on television and films and on Broadway, and you'll say, oh, I heard him on Target with Penny Wolfgang when he was just pretty much starting and not as well known as now, but I actually heard him. And remember this, he comes from Western New York. He's one of us. So, okay, we wish you the best and thank you so much. We'll be watching, Jay.
All right.
We'll be watching.
Thank you so much.
And listening, I guess we should say.
Listening, yes.
And listening.
Absolutely.
And thanks for listening to, speaking of that, to On Target. So please join us again next week. Same time, same station. And have a good week, and best wishes to all of you, and best wishes to Jay. Bye now.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.